We're going to tell our age. How many of you remember Dr. and Mrs. Clifford? The Cliffords were here back in the 40s and the 50s. Actually, Dr. Clifford was pastor of this church when it was constructed back in 1954. The hymn that you just heard, "When Morning Gilds the Skies," was one of Mrs. Clifford's favorite hymns. She told me one time that she remembers singing that hymn as a child, and she's always loved it. And we sang that hymn at her funeral service. It's a glorious hymn. May Jesus Christ be praised. Now, speaking of old hymns, this is Labor Day Sunday, and we're going to talk about work. And when I was thinking about work, I was thinking about hymns. And for some reason, there was an old hymn that came in my mind. And you know how sometimes you get something in your mind and it just won't let you go? "We'll work till Jesus comes." Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you remember that hymn? Well, more than I thought. But it's probably a good thing we didn't try to sing it, Jim. I saw Helen Linder the other day, and I said, "Helen, do you remember the old hymn, 'We'll work till Jesus comes'?" She started to sing it. In fact, Helen, I bet you're singing that right now. The thing I remember about it, Evelyn, I know you remember that. When they used to sing that hymn in my home church, they used to raise the roof. It's an old gospel song, and people would just belt it out, and they would raise the roof, and people would sing with all of their might, "We'll work till Jesus comes." Well, I had that hymn in my mind, and so I had trouble finding it. I had to go all the way back to the 1956 Baptist hymnal to even find it. And when I did, I was surprised to learn that that's not a hymn about work at all. It's a hymn anticipating the day when we can lay all of our burdens down. In fact, the tune is titled "Land of Rest." "O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell at peace, in peace at home? I sought at once my Savior's side, no more my steps to roam. With him I'll brave death's chilling time and reach my heavenly home." And then the chorus each time was, "We'll work till Jesus comes." Now, one thing I noted about that does not say we should be working until Jesus comes. What it's saying is we will work. There's no doubt about it. Until the day of rest, until we reach our heavenly home, we're going to be working. We have work to do. There is work to be done. I don't know where we ever got this notion that we're not supposed to work. If you go back to the book of Genesis, and go all the way back to the second chapter of Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, when he took that dust out of the ground and he breathed into the dust the breath of life, he has Adam, has Eve. He puts them in the Garden of Eden. Have you ever wondered what they were supposed to do in the garden? I mean, did they just walk around, hang out, say, "This is a wonderful place"? I mean, it wasn't like they could invite their friends over. Are you with me? I mean, what are you supposed to do in the Garden of Eden? Well, if you look at the second chapter of Genesis, it tells us. The writer of Genesis said that God, the Lord God, took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. There was work to be done from the very beginning. And then I had Fee to read this great passage from the seventh chapter of Revelation in that great vision that John had on the island of Patmos when he had the vision when heaven and earth became one on that great day when all of the saints will come around the throne and there will be glory and majesty, and we will praise the name of Jesus Christ and God forever and ever. All of the saints are surrounding the throne. Have you ever wondered what we're supposed to do when we get to heaven? I mean, we talk about the day of rest, and the Scripture does tell us they shall rest from their labors. But if you listened to the reading from the 7th chapter of Revelation, it says very clearly they will serve Him day and night. I hope I'm not going to disappoint you when I tell you, folks, when we get to heaven, there is work to be done. God has called us to work. He has called us to serve Him. And in that passage, that great passage in the 9th chapter of John, the gospel lesson for today that you heard just a few moments ago, Jesus and His disciples come across a man who was born blind. And when the disciples see this man, they ask Jesus a question. They said, this raises an issue for us. We've always wondered about when there's somebody like this. I mean, this guy didn't become blind after he was born. So it wasn't any sin that he committed, or was it? They actually believed, some of them, in prenatal sin, which is strange. But they said, so tell us, what's the reason for this? And Jesus looked at him, and I'm sure he kind of shook his head. And he said, listen, guys, there's a time to talk about theology. There's a time to be philosophical. There's a time to look at the question of suffering in the world. But when you see a man who's suffering, it's time to act. It's time to do something. The disciples looked and they saw a blind man. But Jesus looked and he saw a child of God. The disciples saw a statistic, but Jesus saw suffering. The disciples said, let's talk. Jesus said, let's act. The disciples had a theological question, but Jesus had a practical answer. The disciples asked, what caused this to happen? Jesus said, we cannot continue to allow this to happen any longer. We must do something about it. And then he said, we must work the works of him who sent us while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. My message to you today, First Baptist, is simply this. It's time to go to work. It's time for us to work the works of the one who sent us, because one day we're not going to be able to work. But until then, we need to go about the work of the gospel. We need to go about the work of the church. This is the first day of September. It's Labor Day weekend. I think it was Jackson, I was telling you that back in the old days, when I was in school in Alabama, we never started classes till the Tuesday after Labor Day. And we always ended before Memorial Day. Of course, we didn't have as much to learn as you all have now. But I mean, Labor Day was a signal. It was a signal. Summer's past. Time to get to work. Time to go back to school. There's work to be done. The work of building the church, the work of building the kingdom of God. And I have a question that we need to ask. Do we want to be a presence in this community? Or do we want to be the presence of Christ? Do we want to be just a facility? A nice facility on the corner of West 3rd and Hargrave? Or do we want to be the church Do we want to just be cheerleaders for Jesus? I mean, we come on Sunday, yay, Jesus! He fed another 5,000 people. Let's give him a hand. Or do we want to be his disciples, his hands, and his feet? One thing I've discovered, and this is human nature, and this is true about our church, and this is true about the community. But when we start talking about all the needs that we have and everything that needs to be done, we start focusing on what we have lost. And look at all the things we've lost in this community. We have lost in the last two decades our economic drivers. We have lost the very financial foundation of this community. And we look into church. It translates into every church, into every agency, into every nonprofit. We're all suffering. We don't have as much money as we used to have. That's part of the new economic world in which we live. We don't have as many people as we used to have. Maybe that's because we haven't gone to work. And people say, well, you know, back in the day, all you had to do was make an announcement and everybody would be there. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore. 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is not the holy hour for the majority of people who live in this community anymore. We can either focus on what we have lost, or we can build on what we have. Gary Gunderson reminds us, you cannot build a community on what you don't have. Well, what do we have? What do we have? We have gifted, compassionate, caring people who are called by Christ to build his church. We have the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We have the power of the Spirit, and we have the hope of glory to share. Jesus told the disciples, you want to focus on what this man has lost, but I want to focus on what with God he can gain. You know what Jesus gave that man? Of course, yes, he restored his sight, but he gave him something more. He gave him hope. He gave the man who had been blind his whole life, for the first time, he gave him hope. He restored his dignity. He affirmed his worth as a child of God. And he gave him a reason to live. And you know what we, First Baptist family, do you know what we are being called to do? And I believe this with all of my heart. I believe God is calling us to share the message of hope with this community. Because there's one thing more than anything else that people need in this town. We can talk about the economics, we can talk about the unemployment, we can talk about the poverty, we can talk about the tremendous needs. But more than anything else, people need hope. They need a reason to live. They need their dignity to be restored. They need to be affirmed as a child of God. And that's what we have. That's what we have to share. But we have to get to work. We have to work the works that God is calling us to do. And you say, well, gee, I don't know that I can do anything. One of the best initiatives that I've ever seen is Faith Health NC. And over 50 of you are already involved in this great initiative that can make a huge difference in this community. And you say, well, what can I do? Can you make a phone call? Can you pick up the phone and call somebody? Can you make a visit? Can you drive a car? Can you take somebody to an appointment? Then let Jim Tate know. You already have what it takes. It doesn't take much. But what you have, are you willing to give and are you willing to share? You see, we think about the work of the church, and we think about people who teach Sunday school, and we have gifted teachers. We think about people who are in public, but they're the simple things, the little things that make a difference. Earlier this week, I ran into Hazel Frady at the church, and Hazel was telling me the number of things that her mission group has been doing over the past year. And she actually gave me a list. These are not major things. Back when we had the spaghetti dinner for communities in schools, they donated spaghetti sauce. They've donated money for different things. But every single month, this group mails around 100 cards to the members of our church who are homebound or who are sick. 100 cards a month. Just the little things. And Hazel was telling me something. You say, well, gee, I wish I knew something I could do. Let me give you an example of something I'd never thought about before. You ever get takeout? You ever call someplace up and you take it home and they give you one of these? They give you a little plastic packet and it has a spoon and a fork and maybe some salt and pepper. What do you do with it? You probably, if you're going to eat at home, you probably either stick it in a drawer, which you never use it, or you throw it away. Hazel was telling me, she said, you know, the Salvation Army needs this. The Salvation Army would love to have this because they could use this in their meals that they serve every single day. Now, how simple is that? Maybe there's somebody here, and that could be your calling. You could say, all I have to do is promote it, and I collect it and take it to the Salvation Army. You see, there's always something that everyone can do. A lot of you enjoy Facebook. I know. I see you on there all the time. You know, our church has a Facebook page, but it's not a very good one because we don't really have anybody in charge of it. We need somebody to take over our Facebook page. What can you do? What is God calling you to do? I am convinced every person within the sound of my voice has work to do. God is calling you to do something. Some of you have wonderful voices. Some of you need to be up here because Courtney's going back to school and Jackson's going to school next year. Come to the picnic Wednesday night. Join the choir. Praise God with your voice. First Baptist Church, it's time to get to work. It's time to share the good news of the gospel. Back at the beginning of the summer, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship had a national meeting in Greensboro. And they have a group of young ministers. And these are young bucks in their 20s and 30s who have just finished school. And they've just been called to churches. And I mean, they are fired up. They're just getting started in their first church. And it's kind of a support group. And they started thinking, maybe it would be good for them to find a church where instead of young preachers, they're old preachers. They're preachers who have been there for a long time. Maybe we could find a church where there might be a couple of preachers who have been there combined maybe 50 years. Well, guess who they called? So Tommy and I, the old preachers, decided that we would host these young ministers. And so one morning back in June, they all showed up and they have their notebooks and they're fired up and they're ready to go. They're ready to learn everything there is to know about being in the ministry as long as we have. We had a good time with them. I think we enjoyed it probably more than they did, and we even served them Lexington barbecue. But we were sitting in the parlor and they were asking a ton of questions. And then right before it was time to leave, they asked us this. They said, what advice, what one word of advice would you give to these young ministers as they're starting on their journey? Tommy had some great words of wisdom to share. They had not prepared us for these questions. I was thinking, goodness, what is the one thing I could tell them? What is one thing that is more important than anything else? And then I remembered. I remembered back when I was in college. I had a kindly philosophy professor by the name of Mabry Lunsford. He was one of the most gifted. He was a kind and a gentle man. And I had philosophy for a whole year that was like in the Egyptian wilderness. It was tough, but I finally got through it. I don't remember much of the philosophy, but I remember this. One day, Dr. Lunsford looked at all of us and said, "Boys," and we were all boys, he said, "Boys, remember this. The gospel is good news. You have good news to share. In a world of darkness, in a world where people are burdened, in a world where people are searching for some semblance of hope, you have good news." And I told those young ministers, never forget the gospel that you proclaim, the gospel that you live, the gospel that becomes the embodiment of your ministry is good news. First Baptist Church, we have good news to share. In a community that is oppressed, in a community that has economic instability, in a community that has high unemployment, in a community searching for hope, we have the good news of the gospel. We have the power of the Spirit. We have the hope of God. We have work to do. We must work the works of Him who sent us while it is day, because the night is coming when no one can work. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to find whatever it is that God wants me to do in this church and to go to work, because I want to work until Jesus comes. What about you? Are you ready? Are you ready to not just be a building, but to be the church, not just to be a presence, but to be the presence of Christ? Let's go to work. Let's focus on what we have. And let's make a difference in this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it will be one of the greatest things that has ever happened to this community and to this church. Would you pray with me? Dear God, You have given us so many different gifts and abilities. Yet we confess so often we just sit here. We're not doing what You called us to do. But today is a new day. This is a new opportunity. We can join hands with our fellow church members, and we can go to work with the good news of Jesus Christ. Give us the wisdom. Give us the ability and give us the power to share good news. In Jesus' name, amen.